Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. How you doing? I hope you're having a good week as we've officially hit meteorological autumn, I think. Definitely a slight chill in the air, but, you know, still nice, isn't it? Still all right. And I don't know what you're up to, but, yeah, a lot of people are getting super busy, obviously, because we're, you know, kids back to school and all of that stuff. I think I've possibly got the busiest time of my life, actually. If truth be told, I'm just absolutely, full of it at the minute. Just absolutely chaotic, really, because I run my Platinum Awards, as some of you know, with my other hat on, where I recommend natural products. So that's happening next week. I did a nice little piece on BBC London with Cary Grant, who's one of the judges, which was great. And we ended up talking about the Sober Club, which was really good fun. Ended up talking about sort of alcohol-free drinks and the Sober Club, and so that was nice, because I do think there's a real link. I think when people ditch the booze, that is often the time when they start to think, wow, maybe I do care what I put on my skin. Maybe I am interested in the right supplements. So everything kind of links in. So anyways, I got that coming up. And then, of course, at the end of the month, I've got my sober coach training, which kicks off at the end of the month. There's still a few spaces left, a couple of spaces left, if that's of interest to you. But I'll tell you a bit more about that later on. So, yes, it's a very busy time, and a lot of projects going on within the Sober Club as well and within our Sober Coach community. And then I got all the stuff with the kids and my daughter starting a new college and on and on and on. And if that sounds all very familiar, being super busy, then you know how it feels. And you have to remember to take a little bit of time to recharge your own batteries, don't you? It's all very well kind of running at breakneck speed, but actually you do sometimes have to just remember to breathe. But one thing's for sure, I tell you what, I used to think I had a lot of energy when I was drinking. I thought I was an energetic person who'd got a lot done, but man alive, being sober, it's a whole new superpower. It really is. And it's not just the energy, it's the clarity and also the ability to set a few boundaries that I've said before, I never used to have that ability. But now I am able to sometimes, not always, but sometimes I say no, right? I got offered something the other day, which in the past, I just would have thought, oh, it'd be quite nice. And they'd like me to do it. And I feel quite flattered to be invited to speak at something. So yeah, I'll just say yes. And this time I was able to just take a pause and think, okay, in the scheme of things, can you really genuinely fit this in? And the answer is no. So I actually was very brave and I said no, very proud of myself. Anyways, this week's podcast is, it's perfect when we're talking about this whole thing of taking a little time out for yourself and just being able to recognise, you know, what comes with sobriety. So I'm going to be chatting to Kath Wynne-Jones, who is the author of Finding Joy Within, fabulous book title. As I said to her when I interviewed her, if you'd have just said those words to me, you know, 6 years ago, I'd have said, oh, don't, I'll just cut it out. Seriously, that stuff's for everyone else, not for me. But I love that title now, because that literally is what sobriety feels like, finding joy within. You know, after the hard bit, of course, we recognise that depending on what stage you're at, you may not quite be in the joyful phase, but that's okay. You know, we all have to push through and do the hard bits as well. But before we get to that, I'm super excited that we've teamed up with New London Light. These are such cool drinks. And as I say in this piece, I actually got to go down to Devon. So I know a little bit about this company. And I thought, listen, it'd just be so lovely to actually chat with Howard, who's the guy behind all of this. You know, it's a great, interesting story. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Howard.
Well, this is one of those podcasts where I wish you could all see it, or some of you will be able to, because Howard Davis is my guest and his background is really cool. Describe it for us, Howard, will you?
Oh, it's great to hear that it's cool from your perspective. So we're so I mean, my background is water sports and sailing, and from a young child, always being involved with the water in a beautiful part of the country called Salcombe in South Devon.
Devon, yeah.
And then as a teenager, I used to teach sailing in Sorkham to children. And at the end of the day, teaching sailing, me and a friend would retire and have a gin and tonic at the time at the yacht club overlooking the waters of sunset. And it was that was sort of our first introduction into fine quality spirits. And then so then a number of years later, after having done our own careers, we then went and started up a gin distillery, Sorkham Gin. And then more recently, I'd say about now two and a half years ago, really started getting interested in the non-alcoholic sector. And then we launched New London Light.
Yeah, brilliant. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. Just describe to us what's behind you then, for anyone who's not managing to watch this, who's just listening. The fabulous equipment looks really cool, really funky.
So this is our big copper still. It's called Provident, which is actually named after a famous sailing vessel that used to be in Sorkham. And this is where we distill all of our gin. And actually, for one of our New London Light products, First Light, we actually distill the heart of that non-alcoholic spirit on this still as well.
Right. Fascinating. So just for anyone who's kind of fairly new to the non-alcoholic market, I mean, often the kind of spirits and the gin alternatives are what we sort of hear about first, because I suppose they were first to the scene, really. Well, after the beers, I guess, after the alcohol-free beers. But for anyone who's relatively new to it, just explain to us how it works then. Is it a case of you make a regular gin, as it were, and then you remove the alcohol, or is it done completely differently?
It's really different, actually, and funny enough, and a lot of people don't, it's actually harder, it's actually more complicated and more challenging to make a really good non-alcoholic spirit than an alcoholic spirit. And so, and there's different ways that people may make these. I mean, for us, we're really proud of the fact that we make the heart of our non-alcoholic spirits in-house. And often it can start with alcohol in some way, because it may be that if you have some fruits and botanicals that are going to give the flavor to your non-alcoholic drink, it might that initially be that you, for instance, we steep that in an alcohol mixture, because what that does is that helps draw those flavors out of those botanicals and fruits. But then what we'll do is we'll then put it into a vacuum still that effectively distills or separates away the flavors from the alcohol. And then you're left with all the benefit of these lovely flavors, but without the alcohol. And that then creates the heart of your non-alcoholic spirit.
Right.
And then typically then you may then add further fruit and botanical extracts to that. And then you obviously then blend that with water to get to the right sort of level of concentration or strength for your bottled spirit.
So would we be calling that 0.5 then, or 0%? Because again, this is something where we all get terribly confused.
So it's really confusing. Different countries have different rules around legislation. I mean, here in the UK, we can call something alcohol free if it's less than 0.5%. And so for our New London Light, yes, it's going to be somewhere between 0 and 0.5%.
Right. Okay.
We'll often have, you know, a tiny bit of residual alcohol that will still be left in some of the liquid, but it's a tiny amount.
Yeah, exactly. It's less than you'd have in a banana or whatever is the expression, isn't it, really?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's the case with the vast majority of non-alcoholic spirits.
Yeah. So it must have been very interesting for you then, because obviously, you know, you have a brand that sells alcohol, and now you have these fabulous New London Light products. Have you actually seen a real interest? Have you really noticed an interest in the alcohol-free market? Or, you know, is it something that you've seen personally, or is it just that you've kind of heard about it and wanted to get in on it, as it were? You can probably hear I've got this little dog next to me making a noise. Sorry. I'd be thinking, why is she making that strange noise? Sorry, carry on.
That's all right. Well, firstly, actually, interestingly, we're actually working hard now to sort of separate these off as two separate products. We really want to create some space between the New London Light and the Sorkham Gin. So actually having a new separate website being built later this year, and the brands are becoming more and more separate as non-alcoholic spirits really builds its strength and its following in its own right. And now I've almost forgotten your question, Jane.
No, it's just, I just wondered what you'd notice personally in terms of the interest, you know. I mean, I suppose we know that a lot of people listening to this podcast, we know that a lot of them will be actively seeking this out, of course. But what about your regular customers? What was their view when you decided to come out with a alcohol-free version?
So it's a lot of interest, but a lot initially people are a bit, some people just get it straight away, you know. Yeah. For me, if you don't mind, I'll start with myself personally.
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
So for me, I still drink alcohol. I still love my gin and tonic. It's a great drink, but I live quite an active lifestyle. I do a lot of sport. I work very hard with the business. And for me, what was always really important was clarity. It was always the word I use, particularly, you know, during the week. I want clarity in the morning. I want clarity throughout the day. And I found that if even sometimes if I have a smallish amount of alcohol, then you just don't have that sharpness and that clarity either for sport or for work. And that's something that certainly I found more important as I've got a little bit older. So I found even in my own drinking habits, while I still drink alcohol, I actually felt a real desire and need for a non-alcoholic alternative. And so that was part of my own interest. And yet at the same time, I still want to have that quality and adult sophistication of
yeah,
flavor.
Yeah, lovely drink.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah. And you still want to have the same occasion and atmosphere with when you're sharing a drink with someone else, that environment. So even personally myself, in my own life, there was a need and a desire for this. And then at the same time, yes, we've seen it more broadly, you know, with everybody out there. It initially started off with some of the younger generations drinking a little bit less than they used to and being more interested in the non-alcoholic spirit. But that's not the case now. It's throughout every age, yeah. every demographic. Mm. We're seeing it across the board. I think we're all more health focused. We're all more conscious of this. And so we see it across everybody. So then amongst our customers, it cuts a bit both ways. You've got some people who are just at the outset, they're looking for a non-alcoholic product as well as an alternative, and they're really interested. And so that's fine. And then amongst people who currently might drink an alcoholic spirit, then they're curious, they're interested.
Mm. Which is great. That's the best way to start, isn't it?
Exactly.
Because, you know, even if somebody drinks, as you say, you know, there's going to come a time when they're going to be the designated driver, or, you know, they want to support their, you know, wife or girlfriend who's pregnant or whatever it might be. There's going to come a time. So if they can, in that moment, make a start by having this version, how cool is that they still enjoy a great drink rather than having to have a goddamn Coke?
Absolutely. That's it. And that's the thing, you know, it's having this alternative to a Coca-Cola or some other soft, sugary drink that's not particularly interesting in flavour. And that's where people, if you like, need reassurance as well, because people think, well, actually, if I don't drink an alcoholic drink, is it still going to have an interesting flavour? Is it going to be nice? Am I going to like it? And so actually, a lot of it is about education and communication that, yes, you can have a fantastically flavoured, mature drink without alcohol in it.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about your flavors, because I'm really interested in what you've chosen. So tell us a little bit about your kind of flavor profile for these drinks.
Yeah, I'd love to. So we have three. So the first one we launched is called First Light, and that very much is inspired by gin. So that is very similar botanicals and flavors to gin. It's got juniper, it's got some ginger in it, a little bit of habanero actually for a little bit of warmth as
bit of
well.
A kick.
So,
yeah.
Exactly. So that's a lovely answer. If someone was wanting something similar to gin but without the alcohol, then First Light is a fantastic product. We're really, really proud of. But the great thing with non-alcoholic is you don't need to lead by, oh, let's try and create a non-alcoholic version of an existing alcoholic drink.
I agree.
And that's what's so exciting about it. You're no longer constrained by fruits and things that might previously fermented to produce alcohol. And blah, blah, blah. Actually, you've got this complete play field of all kinds of options you might have to create interesting flavor drinks. So the other two that we've launched since then have got no relation to an existing alcoholic spirit. We're not trying to create a non-alcoholic version or something inspired by a spirit. So we have one which is called Aegean Sky, very much Mediterranean inspired. You know, think bitter citrus with a little bit of olive. And so that's got things like kumquat and bergamot, a little bit of rosemary as well, and olive. It's a lovely sort of deep orange color. It's quite a bitter flavor. You know, we typically still mix it with tonic, but a really lovely, a drink that you savor over time, and just takes you back to that last holiday you had in Greece or Italy in the sunshine. So that's the Aegean Sky, which we're really proud of. And then another one is Midnight Sun, our third one. This is really inspired by the sort of Nordic and Scandinavian regions. So think about, you know, berries and pine forests, so elderberries, sea berries, some loganberries as well, and pine, and also we've got some sort of coastal botanicals in there as well, a little bit of samphire and kelp as well.
Well, of course you have, considering you're in Salcombe. I mean, my God, where you are is just so beautiful, isn't it? It's so beautiful down there.
We're so fortunate. Every day we have to sort of pinch ourselves with where we are. Yeah, so it's lovely. It's so sort of that coastal influence does come through in a lot of what we do. So yeah. It's the Midnight Sun's the third one, like I said.
Yeah,
so
lovely.
It's really, really delicious.
Yeah. So what's the situation with, because you've got your lovely kind of distillery in Salcombe. Tell us a bit about that, because we can actually go in as punters, can't we?
Yeah, certainly. So you go into the distillery, we've got a beautiful bar, and literally, again, the image you can see.
Yeah, the lovely machinery. It looks so amazing. I love it.
So our distillery is by the water in Salcombe. In fact, it's one of the few distilleries in the entire world that you can access by boat. and if you come up to our distillery bar, at one end of our bar, there's an interior glass wall with our beautiful copper steel behind it that you can see. And at the other end of the bar, there's a balcony and windows overlooking the creek, the water, the estuary right behind us. And so it's a really lovely setting to come in and experience our products. And as well as our sort of classic serves of our New London Light, which is with tonic, we've also developed a plethora of exceptional cocktails.
Oh,
as well.
Have you? I was going to ask that. Yeah, great idea. Lovely.
Yeah, we've got loads. I mean, yeah, come and try those. It's lovely. And actually, we're just launching as well some sort of, we can do kind of tutored tastings and tastings as well of non-alcoholic spirits as well. So we're really trying to work hard to raise the profile of the quality of what's happening.
So if we come down there and we're not drinkers, we're just as welcome, right? That's what's so lovely about this.
100%, 100%, yeah. And our team, we're all passionate about what we do. And you speak to any member of the team there in the bar or in our retail shop that we have there as well, and they will talk with equal enthusiasm about New London Light as they would about Salcombe Gin. We are really proud of what we've done there. And the thought and quality and the process that goes into New London Light is fascinating. And the guys will bend your ear for a while to talk to you about it, I'm sure.
And is it in kind of bars and stuff as well? Where do you sell it, apart from in your own shop, obviously?
I mean, we sell it nationally, around the country in loads of great quality bars and restaurants and retailers as well. I mean, the big sort of retailers, the easiest place to buy is from our website, is newlondonlight.com. It can be bought there. But also, we're really pleased, we recently just secured our first listing with Waitrose for Midnight Sun, one of our New London Lights. So that's currently being rolled out in, I think, around 80 of their stores so far nationwide. And that will, I'm sure that will grow into more broadly into others of their stores as well. So yeah, it's available everywhere. You can easily get it either online or in stores, and the number of stockists is just increasing day by day.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, Howard, I definitely think that I can feel a sober club meetup coming on in your bar overlooking.
You'd be very welcome. Yeah.
You know, so have a nice view, you know, some of tasting some of this stuff. It sounds perfect. Definitely going to have to sort that out. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you for telling us all about it. And I wish you all the best with the brand. Maybe we should have a chat. You know, I sometimes say this to people, let's have a chat in a year's time. It'd be really interesting to see how the market has grown again. You know, what that kind of exponential growth has been in a year. Be pretty amazing, wouldn't it, to see?
That'd be awesome. I'd love to. And maybe next time, let's do it over a drink of New London Light at our distillery in Salcombe.
Sounds like the perfect excuse. Thank you so much, Howard. Really appreciate it.
Lovely to speak to you. Thanks, Jamie.
So I'm definitely going to sort that meetup. I love the idea of that. And you can go on to imperfectlynatural.com or click on the link in the show notes, and you can enter our competition to win the whole collection, the entire New London Light collection, which is a fabulous prize. I mean, these are really funky, funky drinks. So make sure you enter that competition. Check out the show notes there. And as I promised, Kath Wynne-Jones is the author of Finding Joy Within. She is also going to be joining us as a sober coach. So I'm super excited. I'm actually going to get to meet one of my guests in person, which is going to be great. Enjoy. So we're recording this relatively early in the morning, and I'm just absolutely chaotic. But Kath, you look ever so organized and fresh. You look really fresh today.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Good. I'm really excited to be here with you.
Oh, it's it's lovely to chat to you. Well, obviously, we'll chat later about the fact that you're going to be doing the sober coach training, but you've had just so many interesting experiences. So share a bit about your journey and then we'll talk about your book.
Great, thank you. So in terms of my journey, probably outwardly, everybody would have kind of thought that I had the perfect life, kind of amazing family, beautiful daughter, amazing friends, great house, great career. But inside my head just has been a constant living nightmare for was a very long time in terms of self-criticism, self-doubt. And alcohol was a thing that really helped to numb some of that criticism and some of that self-chatter. So alcohol had just been become a really big factor in my life that I'd relied on to calm the noise, to enable me to have fun, to enable me to have confidence. But no one outwardly would have necessarily have thought that. Mm. I wouldn't say I was an alcoholic because I wasn't drinking every day. I would say I was definitely a kind of a grey zone drinker. And very reliant on it for the weekend, living for a glass of wine on Friday nights. And to be honest, can't remember a weekend since I was a teenager, other than when I was pregnant, that I didn't have a drink. And then a couple of things happened in my life, a couple of major things in 2019.
What kind of work were you doing? I've forgotten what work you were doing over that period.
So I'm a director in the NHS.
That's it. Yeah, I remember that now. And I remember thinking to myself that this is so fascinating because within all professions, drinking is rife, isn't it? But within the NHS, oh my God, drinking is rife. Right.
Yeah, I think it is just with so many professional people in different areas that it's such an easy outlet for stress, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's really interesting then. So you were working in a capacity that's allegedly around health. Mm-hmm. That's a separate conversation, isn't it? For another time. But, you know, allegedly around health, and yet literally kind of you and I'm guessing majority of your colleagues kind of just lived, as you say, for the when you could get copious amounts of alcohol down you.
Mm, yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted you anyway. Carry on. So 2019.
Yeah. So 2019, I faced a couple of real challenges in my life. So I separated from my husband at the time. We'd been married 21 years. And also COVID hit very soon after after we were separated, and it got me back into not full weekday drinking patterns, but certainly the Thursday night clap that was all about the NHS. I was on my own at home from an adult perspective. I was with my daughter, but it was an excuse to just go on the doorstep and chat to neighbours and have a glass of Prosecco. Mm. So my kind of non-weekday drinking started to creep into the Thursday night drinking. And then in May bank holiday of 2020, we were kind of allowed a support bubble because I was kind of single parent. And we spent loads of time doing really nice things, kind of like barbecues and kind of like just going outside and going for a walk to the local beach and going canoeing and what have you. But it just became very apparent at the end of that week how much I'd actually drank in a week. And I thought, this has absolutely got to stop. And kind of like holidays, I used to give myself permission that it was kind of weekday drinking was okay on holidays. But when I looked at actually how much I drank, I thought, this is really not good. And there's something that I'm using alcohol here for in terms of more than just having fun and a bit of social connection.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting, isn't it, when we sort of realise you get to that point where we're not even enjoying it. You know, people have said to me, you know, I've had sober club members actually have been sober for a while and then for whatever reason they've tripped up and they started drinking again. But the thing that they notice, if they pause to notice, if they do, what they do notice is don't even enjoy it at all. I mean, it brings no enjoyment. You know, when you finally see the sort of scales come off and you realise that alcohol has absolutely nothing to offer, you don't even enjoy it because for God's sake, nobody likes the taste, do they? We don't drink for the taste. It's always horrible. It's only that it's covered up with whatever sugars or whatever. So you really noticed then that something had to change. So what did you do about it?
Well, I kind of when I kind of faced into the reality, it was pure fear.
Yeah.
So the thought of how I was going to get through a weekend without alcohol. So I tried to do, so actually I'd probably tell a lie, I'd done the odd weekend without alcohol when I tried dry January, and I'd maybe lasted the first weekend. And then by the second weekend, I'd found a reason why there was such an important social event that I needed to go to and have a drink, that it kind of never lasted more than a week or two. So I was hit by fear. But also a kind of knowing that I knew something had to change and something had to change kind of from a perspective of what I was role modeling to my daughter as well. My daughter was 13 at the time, and just thinking about kind of the messages that I was giving to her with the with the reliance that I had on alcohol, the kind of always being a bottle of wine there on a Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah.
So I was hit by fear, but then knowing that I needed to make a change, I'd like to say a bit of excitement, but I don't think there was that much excitement there.
No, I agree. I mean, I agree. I do understand what you mean. It does feel fearful, because part of it, I guess, is that we have to kind of admit that we are caught in this alcohol trap. And that's it kind of gets us. You think, oh my God, I thought I was in control of my life. You know, I thought I knew what I was doing. I was fairly bright and intelligent. How have I got sucked into this? There is an element of that. So it does feel fearful. You're right.
Yeah, it does completely. And I knew that I couldn't do it on my own. And that's why kind of places like the Sober Club were so important. So I joined a coaching group. And it was through just re-educating myself on alcohol. So really kind of figuring out why I drank and realizing that I was drinking for absolutely every emotion possible, all the negatives, to stop stress, to stop anxiety, even though now I know I re-educate myself, it was a cause of anxiety, stopping me feeling sadness, stopping me feeling loneliness, but then also kind of like being that social connector, being something that enabled me to have fun, something that gave me confidence. So there was a lot of re-education that I did in the early days. And just really sitting with my emotions, that was really, really hard at first. And I actually didn't know how to outlet those emotions. And there was a lot of tears, there was a lot of tantrum, I've got to be honest, in the first month. Mm. But then I kind of learned about how to soothe myself and calm my own emotions, do different things. And also a lot of the education about alcohol that I learned about the dopamine hit.
Yeah.
And the fact that you get a massive dopamine hit with the first drink, more so than any other substance.
Well, they actually say you get it just before you even take the drink.
Yeah, completely.
Which is incredible, isn't it? It really shows it's all in the mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hadn't realised that I was constantly in this trap that kind of once I'd had the first drink, I was looking for the same high on the second, third and fourth drink. And of course, kind of what I know now is that you never get it, but I didn't know that at the time. And so it's been really finding the things that give me that real lift that alcohol gave me, and just doing replacement things. So I found loads of things like cold water dipping and kind of dance and just moving my body that started to recreate some of those high emotional feelings that alcohol gave me.
Absolutely. I mean, we do seek pleasure, don't we? That's as humans, we do. We want something, and we want something outside of ourselves. We can't always do it just by going within and meditation, great as that can be. So, I love that. You're very brave doing the cold water swimming. I mean, I've still got that one to crack. I really have. So many people tell me how amazing it is.
That has been, honestly, going into water has been one of my most amazing therapies.
I like the way you call it dipping rather than swimming. I like the idea of that. I could possibly manage a dip.
So
definitely not a swim.
Water has been such an important part for me of kind of my healing journey, just kind of being by water and watching water. I love paddleboarding. I'd never tried paddleboarding before I gave up alcohol. So I've now kind of really got into paddleboarding. But I do really like open water swimming that I do with a wetsuit. But then the cold water dipping, that again, I've done this through a community. Just going up onto the moors, and you literally kind of meditate, do breath work, you're just purely in a swimsuit, and then you just kind of immerse yourself really slowly after you've done all the breathing to open your lungs and kind of get your breathing steady, and it literally is a couple of minutes immersion and then back out again. But it's just so healing being out in cold water, in nature all around you, particularly kind of like when there's a full moon and stuff.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. So tell us about your book. I mean, I'm starting to get the sense of it already. Finding Joy, Joy Within. Perfect title. And I really love this title because, you know, I don't think I could, certainly for me, I could never have imagined what joy even meant, you know, really couldn't. And a phrase like finding joy within, if you'd shown that to me sort of 6-7 years ago, I'd have just said, oh, for God's sake, that was just ridiculous. That's for everybody else. It's definitely not for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, tell us a little bit about what you set out to do with the book.
So if I'm completely honest, I started a book maybe 3-4 years before my alcohol quit journey. So I've been a coach and a meditation teacher for a number of years, coaching kind of executives and kind of busy professionals and what have you, but very much on it was very much performance type coaching and kind of how to structure your life and be more productive and stuff like that. And it never felt right. The vibe of what I was doing didn't feel like it was me. And the book that I was writing didn't necessarily feel like it was me because it felt too head-based rather than heart-based. Mm. And so it had taken me forever to get anywhere with it. And it just felt like really slow progress that I didn't feel hugely connected to. And then once I started my alcohol quit journey, it made sense to me about why I was struggling with some of it, because I was trying to write a book about joy, but actually I wasn't feeling that much joy myself because it was so reliant on something external. And a lot of the books that I read that really helped me along my journey were kind of people's personal reflections around how they'd quit alcohol, kind of like We Are the Luckiest and the Lockdown books and what have you, that were just people's real stories about what quitting alcohol had been like for them that made me feel not so alone. So I kind of set out to write my book with that intention, but also with the intention of teaching some of the tools and techniques and sharing some of the tools and techniques that had really helped me, so that there were practical things that people could take away from it. So a lot of my book is around my journey with my learnings kind of sprinkled through it. And then sharing at the end of the book my Joyful Life Liberator framework, which is kind of, I'm really into strategy and systems and process because that's what I do for a job.
And can you come around here and help me out? I need a strategy, a system and a process right now.
It kind of felt like when I was sharing some of my stuff on social media and people were really kind of like asking me how I'd done what I'd done, and kind of I thought, I need to put it into some sort of framework.
Some people really do like that, those frameworks. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So I kind of put it into a framework just so that it was easy for me to share with people. And so my book is around sprinkling the teachings that are in that framework and then sharing the framework at the end around the things that I believe are key to living a joyful life. And so much of that for me has been about being in my heart and not being in my head.
Yeah.
And my spirituality has been really important for me on this journey as well. And kind of finding that connection within myself, but the connection that ultimately I believe only comes from something greater than ourselves as well.
And isn't it amazing how when you stop drinking it, all of this is opened up, you know? And even those of us who thought we had that stuff before, you know, as you say, you were teaching meditation, but it's not the same, is it? There's another whole level once you get rid of this thing that's been blocking you.
Yeah, completely.
Very true. Well, the book is just great, and well done you. It's just amazing. And you must have noticed that, you know, your little bits of light have been shining on your colleagues. What's happened there?
So I think people were, I think I was met with a little bit of, you're really going to
all right
into the world. And so it's been really, at first I was a little bit, I was quite nervous about sharing some of my story with my colleagues, and particularly kind of just a little bit of embarrassment, if I'm honest.
I felt huge shame actually at the beginning. I really did.
There was a whole thing about actually admitting that something that I did have some challenges with alcohol.
Well, what's interesting there, just to interrupt you slightly, because I know there'll be people listening who this is actually what's keeping them stuck, because their work, you know, their work, their business is very important to them. And they understand the whole grey area drinking scenario. They understand that you know, there is no shame attached to this. So many people are somewhere down that booze elevator. And actually, you know, the ones of us, those of us who can see a way to get off, we're the sensible ones. But unfortunately, they're in fear that if they talk about any of this, whether social media or whatever, they're concerned that actually they're going to, their boss or whoever it is going to instantly think, oh, okay, so you've got a serious alcohol problem.
Yeah.
Which is not going to play well. Mm. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, completely. But as I kind of got used to talking to people about it, the conversations became more natural. And people started to think about, actually, maybe I could do with drinking a little bit less. And just starts a different conversation about not just alcohol, but actually things that you can do in your life that are really different. And I came to finding things to do in my life that were really different because of alcohol. But actually, what I'm now trying to do is help people to find new experiences that might help them to reduce alcohol rather than get to it from a kind of pure alcohol perspective.
Yeah, exactly. And to that end, I'm thrilled that you've decided to do the sober coach training. Tell us how that came about for you.
So I've got a lot of coaching. I've got a lot of coaching kind of skills in my kind of profession anyway, and my career. So I said I trained as an exec coach a few years ago now, and I trained to be a meditation teacher. But I've just been learning to do so much other stuff as part of my alcohol quit journey that I wanted to really share with people. So as part of my journey, I'm kind of building my, I guess the thing that I'm building is teaching people how to practice conscious practices. So by that I mean things like meditation, looking at things that they eat, conscious dance. And so ecstatic dance has been a really big part of my healing journey again. And teaching ecstatic dance, and it kind of felt like I was helping people with all these things, and kind of my journal and how to kind of thought process and write down what you're feeling. And it kind of felt like I was doing all this stuff and kind of teaching people things that helped me, but I'd not trained to coach on the thing that was the core.
Yeah, on the core.
Kind of difference for me.
Yeah.
So when I found out about the kind of coaching training, for me, it was just like the real natural thing to do to complement the other kind of practices that I was sharing with people and teaching people. Because ultimately, there is a very specific there's a very specific skill, I think, about helping people who have got some form of addiction, no matter what that level of addiction is. There's a very specific skill around that that isn't just around mindset. So I felt it was really important for me, if I was going to work with people who were trying to quit alcohol, that I had kind of the right knowledge and skills around that.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to having you as part of it. It is, you know, though I say so myself, very comprehensive training. So and it is very much about the everything, of course. As you say, you know, we lay those foundations, and then we find out how we can live our best life, the one we don't have to escape from, right? That's it ultimately, isn't it? So fantastic. Well, we very much look forward to having you as part of our dream team. It's fantastic. I really look forward to meeting you in person. So where can people find your book? And you were telling me you want a few more reviews. So if anybody reads it, they can give you a nice review. I know, Amazon, honestly, what are they like? You have to have reviews before your book pops up, right? So just tell us where people can find it.
So it is an Amazon link. And if there's somewhere that I can drop it into
I'll pop it in the show notes. So if you just whiz it to me, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, so I'll pop that in the show notes. And also, if you just want to give your website, if you've got a website as well.
So my website is currently under construction at the moment. Okay. It's Work With Kath. Again, I will share that.
Yeah, let us know when that's ready. No worries.
I'm on Facebook under Kathwyn Jones, and also on LinkedIn under Kathwyn Jones as well.
Brilliant. brilliant. Kath, it's so lovely to chat to you. Can't wait to meet you in person for the Sober Coach training. And loads of luck with the book. I think it's just the more people we've got out there raising awareness of grey area drinking, it's just so brilliant, isn't it? And as you said, and the work that you're doing, you know, in the kind of sector that you work in, we just need loads more people spreading those little bits of light, don't we? Because, you know, you'll probably never know how many people have noticed. We've never said anything to you, but they've noticed, you know, and when they wake up at 3 a.m. there'll be a little bit of them that's thinking, oh my god, maybe I need a word with Kath, you know. So I just think it's amazing the way the ripples spread, really. So yeah, well done you, amazing work.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me.
Look forward to seeing you soon. Literally, I'm going to actually see you soon. Look forward to
it. Very exciting.
thank you
so much.
So I'll put the link to Kath's book in the show notes of this podcast. And just a reminder, as Kath said, that connection piece is so important. I know I say it all the time. I know it just sounds like a big sell for the Sober Club. If you want to join another group, that's fine. But do get connected. And obviously what we offer in the Sober Club, I think, is very unique, because we really do welcome you whatever stage you're at, day one, or thinking about it, or year six or seven or eight, whatever you want to do, because we focus on the everything. We focus on optimum well-being, absolute positive sobriety approach. That's what we do. And we cover all kinds of different stuff. And there really is the most amazing non-judgmental connection there. Whole host of incredible resources for you. A course, Get the Buzz Without the Booze, included, which you can also buy separately, but that'll cost you nearly a couple of hundred quid. So why not join the Sober Club? And of course, we have regular meetups on Zoom, and there just is so much amazing connection and support. So obviously, I'm really proud of it, and obviously, I'm going to mention it. So check it out, thesoberclub.com. And as we mentioned on the interview, Kath's going to be joining us for our Sober Coach training. You don't have to already be a coach in order to do this work. Let's have a conversation if it's something that you're interested in. If you've ditched the booze and you now are at a stage where you want to maybe take on a new challenge or inspire other people, whether that's in your own workplace or whether you do want to start a new business, all of the biz training and the promotional stuff is so much of that included as well. It's very comprehensive. So love to welcome you to that, if that feels right for you, or just pass this info on to somebody else who you might know. If you're early stages doing this hard thing, then reach out to somebody, drop me a message. You can find me on social media. Just drop me a message. Let me know that you're doing it, and just share your successes, because be proud of yourself. Really be super proud of yourself if you're doing this, because there is still a hell of a lot of cognitive dissonance to get past, isn't there? You know, and within different communities and different families and different setups and events and workplaces, you know, you're all still going to get the sober shamers. We really are. And you can start to kind of challenge yourself. One of my clients was saying the other day that, you know, she was so determined, and then she found herself sort of on the way to work. It wasn't even the evening, it was in the morning, and the wine witch literally was sort of in her ear saying, oh, you know, you've got a really busy day and it's going to be stressful, and nobody will know if you just pop to the wine bar after work, and, you know, you deserve it. I mean, literally, you know, it's 9 a.m. and the wine witch is kicking off. That's when you've just got to be able to catch those thoughts and take a pause and remind yourself, hold on, this is worth doing. And the emperor is not wearing any clothes. Alcohol will not promise anything. I mean, I beg your pardon. It will promise everything. It would not deliver anything, right? So if you're doing this, stay connected. Because if you've got someone to tell, then we can laugh about that together, you know, and we can wave the wine witch goodbye. But it's important to reach out, because otherwise, if it's just you and your thoughts or you and the wine witch, well, we all know where that leads, right? So anyways, thank you again to New London Light, who've been part of this podcast. Don't forget, you can enter that competition to win the whole collection. Check out their fantastic drinks, and you know where to find me, and just check out thesoberclub.com. And I hope your first week back at work, or kids back at school, or whatever it is you're doing in this busy period, I hope it goes really well, and I'll see you same time next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by the Sober Club.
please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.